Well, that scripture reading might sound familiar since it's the one we had last Sunday. But this week, we want to use it for a different purpose. You may remember that last week we used this passage to introduce the concept that there are things that people think they know that are not true, culminating in the Pharisees' declaration concerning Jesus, we know that this man is a sinner, which is a stunning and erroneous conclusion concerning Jesus. But we talked about that last Sunday morning and last Sunday evening. Today, we would like to consider John chapter 9 and verse 4 for a different purpose. Jesus often taught his disciples a valuable lesson concerning the focus and direction of their lives. His disciples needed to be reminded to have their priorities right. And so Jesus said to them in John 9 and verse 4 that concerning himself, he had to work the works of God while it is day, because there's a night coming when no man can work. Let's also look at John chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. John chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. Then Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." And so there's an application we want to make of that in just a few moments. But first of all, from these verses, there are three main points that we want to discuss this morning. And the first one is that Jesus expects his disciples to work. He described Christians in several ways, and all of them involve activity. I'm afraid that quite often, in the effort to prove that you cannot be saved by works, that people have de-emphasized works altogether. Now, it is true that we cannot earn salvation, that we could never do enough works to merit salvation. That part is true. But remember the same passage, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, which talks about you are saved by grace through faith, also says you were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so it's kind of like aiming to miss one particular thing and then missing it altogether is the way some people approach works. But it wasn't the way Jesus did. So let's take a quick look at a few passages. Matthew chapter 20, beginning with the first verse, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for the vineyard." The important thing to remember here is that the kingdom of heaven involves laborers. Now, not everybody was hired first thing in the morning. Some of them weren't hired until the third hour, maybe the fifth hour. Some even as late as the 11th hour. But the point is not that they were lazy, but they had no opportunity to work. As soon as there was a need, they were there and they were ready to do the work. And that's the same concept we ought to have. Some days, some weeks, there may not be any work to do. But the point is we are ready when the opportunity presents itself. So laborers in the vineyard. Next, let's go to Matthew chapter 25. And we see that we are, in a sense, like businessmen or stewards who have been given something. For the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 25, 14, is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately went on a journey. And then later on he came back and asked for an accounting, verses 14 through 30. And as you recall, the one with 5 made 5 more. The one with 2 made 2 more because they worked. They did the bidding of their master. They did what was necessary on his behalf. They did well in their stewardship. Of course, the one talent man went and buried it in the earth and was cast into the outer darkness, not because he had less, but because he was lazy and he did no work. Well, there's a third illustration, and let's go to Luke chapter 12 for this one. Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 42. And the Lord said, "Who then is the faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in good and due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant said in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,' and begins to beat the men servants and maid servants and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and will appoint his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself to do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to him who has much has been committed, of him they will ask the more." Again, we find workers. We find some that may grow lax and lazy and even abusive. And then there are the type that will be rewarded. But work is expected from the master. And then let's go to Luke chapter 14, beginning with verse 28. Luke chapter 14, beginning with verse 28. "For which of you intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build, but was not able to finish.'" And then it goes on a little bit further about a king and his army. But the comparison here is that we are builders. So we are vineyard workers. We are businessmen. We are servants. We are builders. And what do all of these have in common? They all involve work. Hard work. Now, Jesus recognized the need for rest occasionally, but in the context of being worn out with work. In Mark 6:31, he told his disciples to come apart for a little bit and rest because they had been so busy in the proclamation of the gospel that they had had no time to rest. So rest is in order when we have been working hard. But where is the illustration in the scriptures of the Christian vacationer. Where do you find, behold, a man drove his family to Disney World? You don't find that type. You find the ones of people working instead. Today, in our world, people know how to relax. People know how to have fun. They know how to watch movies. They know how to listen to music. But do we know how to labor for our master? Jesus expects his disciples to work. Second, though, Jesus expects his disciples not just to work, but to do his work. Sometimes I think people think, as long as I'm busy, the Lord will be happy with me. But the question is, what are you busy doing? There are 100 ways to be busy, but are we doing his work? Jesus knew what his purpose was. Earlier in the book of John, in chapter 8 and verse 29, Jesus said, "And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him." I always do those things that please him. Jesus was about the Father's business. And that's what he expects of his disciples. Backing up even a little more to John chapter 4 and verse 35, after talking with the woman at the well, he says to his disciples, "Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are already white for harvest." So our responsibility is not just to work, not just to be busy, but to work for God. Paul said to do all things without murmuring and complaining in Philippians chapter 2. But just prior to that verse, in verse 13, he says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." We already mentioned Ephesians 2:10. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works. Let's also notice what Paul wrote to Titus in Titus chapter 2 and verse 8. Titus chapter 2 and verse 8. Remember, verse 8 is in the middle of a passage of things that Titus ought to have and possess. And in verse 14, let's make it, he said, "He gave himself for us who might that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous of good works." And then again in Titus 3 and verse 8, he says, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These are good and profitable to men." And so there is plenty that is said in the scriptures about the believer to maintain good works, to do the work of the Father. You cannot read Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12 and not get a sense of this. The writer says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again. which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not solid food. There was something wrong with their development. They had not been walking in good works. They had not been maintaining good works. They had not been making use of the talents and the abilities that God had given them, and they were slowly declining as a result of it, and needed to go back to the first principles all over again. We must be careful that we are not in that same position. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well pleasing. And so time and again, we find the necessity of work. And we didn't even look at James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26, which is an important passage balancing faith and works or obedience. So we must do work. We must do his work. And the third point is, Christians must do his works while it is day, as long as it is day. Jesus, of course, lived in a time with no electricity such as we enjoy. And when the nighttime came, people generally quit working. Now, they could light candles, but it was just not that easy, especially to work out in the fields or someplace. Spiritually speaking, there is a night coming also. There are 12 hours in the day that we have to work in our life. But there is coming a night when no man can work. And that is the nighttime of when this life is over, or the nighttime of the day of judgment, in which no one will be able to work any longer. You and I, at this very moment, are enjoying the daytime of our lives. Jesus reminds us to use that daylight wisely. 12 hours before we can rest our life corresponding to that. If we will walk in the day doing what we need to be doing and going where we need to be going, then we will not stumble. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 15:58. That you should always abound in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Lots of other work might not have any eternal consequences, but your labor in the Lord does. Now, why all of this emphasis on working? Working, doing the Lord's work, and doing the Lord's work while it is day, because we surely will run out of an opportunity sooner or later. Because we need to work now, because there is a time coming for rest. And that's the time that the work ceases. Let's consider four pertinent passages concerning that rest. Now, that word is not used in Matthew 25, but let's just read the passage. Matthew 25, we already introduced that earlier with we were talking about the business aspect that we have to conduct as God's people. We read when the Lord came to get an accounting of the man with five talents, that he had earned five more. And the Lord said to him, "Well done." Now, he didn't say well thought or well planned, although the guy probably had thought about it and planned it. But Jesus praises the execution, not the good intentions, but the execution of the plan. Well done, good and faithful servant. I will make you ruler over many things. You've been faithful over a few things. Enter the joy of your Lord. Now there we are talking about a reward. Again, the word rest is not used, but there is a reward, and joy is the result of the labor that has been done. Well, let's look at a couple of other passages. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning with verse 6, to get the a better look at the context. Well, I guess if we're going to look at the entire context, we better back up to verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. Notice these actions that are being praised. So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Since it is a righteous thing for God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. So you are laboring now. And part of that laboring involves persecution. Part of that laboring involves trials and tribulations. And there are those who are troubling you who on the day of judgment shall receive trouble from the Lord. But you shall receive rest on that day. You shall receive rest. Now is the daylight. Now is the 12 hours that we are working and laboring together. Then will be the time of rest. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. So there is coming that time of rest. Then third, let's go to Hebrews chapter 3, beginning with verse 16. Hebrews chapter 3, beginning with verse 16. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all of those who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter into his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you should seem to come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who believe, who have believed, do enter that rest, as he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all of his works. And again in this place they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not have afterwards spoken of another rest, another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered into his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter into that rest, lest anyone fall after the same example of disobedience. So we see that this is first of all a matter of faith, and that they did not have enough faith, even though they had seen all that God had done in Egypt, even though they passed through the Red Sea, even though God provided them manna in the wilderness, they did not have enough faith to trust in God. Thus, they were not obedient to him. Thus, they did not do the works of God. We must do the works of God, which demonstrate our faith, which is what James 2 talks about. Now there's one other passage that deals with rest, and that's found in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. This is used in a little bit different sense. The passage we just looked at, and most of the others, are talking about rest that comes at the end of an obedient life. This is a different type of rest that comes sooner than that. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, eventually, that would be the kind of rest that we're talking about, but there's an initial rest he's talking about here. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." There is rest from certain things in the world in Christ. Coming to Jesus and answering this call is going to give rest from certain problems, from various types of ungodliness in the world. In Christ, as opposed to in the world, there is love, joy, peace, righteousness. Jesus was talking to those who might, as maybe you are, tired of what he finds in the world. Tired of the moral, political, ethical corruption that there is, of the evil that there is. Sin has messed up so many people's lives. Maybe it has made you unhappy too. You can have rest from all of that that is in the world. But you need to repent of your sins. And you need to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And you need to join him in his death. Be buried with him in baptism, Romans 6, 3 through 5. So that the old person that was of the world and participated in the things of the world dies and is buried and raised up to walk in newness of life. Jesus can give you rest. If you are interested in that kind of rest today, and you want your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus, let us know. And if you don't fully understand yet, we'll be glad to study with you a bit further to give you the kind of rest Jesus wants you to have now and the rest in eternity that comes because of your works for Him, your works for Him while it is day. If you are subject to the gospel invitation for any reason, come while we stand and while we sing.